So South Africa has a surplus of vaccines, and earlier today, Professor Musa Mushabela, who is at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, said it's time for South Africa to donate vaccines to other African countries as soon as possible. The remaining South Africans are not ready to take vaccines. Let's go, leadership! Exclamation mark. Prof. Mushabela, welcome. Good to have you with us on 702 Drive.
Good morning, John, and to the listeners.
But before we jump into some of your thoughts, let's just hear what Acting DG of Health, Dr. Nicholas Crisp, had to say on the general situation with vaccines, and then we'll take up your points after that. Here's Dr. Crisp.
But what we've been doing for a long time already, for a couple of months, is deferring our deliveries. Look, we've placed those orders, but we don't want to stockpile vaccine. We don't want more than we've already got in the country. And there are other places who are looking for vaccine. So it's better for us to have a vaccine going to other countries. And then when we finally get to that point where we need, then we can accept our deliveries at that time.
So, Prof, there's Dr. Crisp. Much of what he's saying would seem to chime with the points that you're trying to get us to consider. I want to engage with you, though, on your second sentence. I'll read it again. The remaining South Africans are not ready to take vaccines. Are you saying we've pretty much plateaued on this? And if so, why?
Yeah. No, I think it's about hesitancy. We've been speaking about it to say that there is going to be a group of South Africans who are enthusiastic about taking vaccines, and they will be the ones first on the line to get those vaccines. And then after that, you sort of see a slowdown, and you're getting into the sort of late adopters and the late majority. And so we've reached that point. And to get past that point, you really need very creative ways to persuade people, because these are people who are a little bit reluctant, doubtful, and it takes a long time to get through to them. And that's why we have now reduced our total numbers per day. We are ranging on average of about 100,000, just over 100,000 on average, of people who get vaccines per day. And we, right, at some point, were over 250,000, close to 300,000. So the situation has really kind of plateaued a bit, and we are sitting with over 16.5 million doses. We are expecting 2.5 million doses, so close to 20 million doses by end of this week.
Yeah, so that's plenty. So before we talk about a strategy then to assist other parts of the African continent, let's just talk about our region. What's holding back vaccination in the Southern African region, for example? Is it just supply?
It's not just supply. I think that we've also seen different levels of variations in hesitancy. But what we can say now is that for most of Africa, hesitancy is the second or the third problem.
Right.
And supply is the primary problem. And we have a lot of people who don't have the opportunity to get the first vaccine, that first dose. And already we can see that variants are not necessarily going to be selective if you're going to pick up variants in places like Botswana and Tanzania and other places. So they need to get that first dose and saturate that sort of number of the early majority who are optimistic to get vaccines.
So if we were to engage two or three countries in Southern Africa, let's say Malawi, Botswana and Mozambique, and said, we have vaccines, we would very happily share them with you. What arrangements can you make? How would you assess the level of preparedness, particularly in those countries, for the Pfizer vaccine, which has quite exacting demands in regard to the cold chain?
Yeah, that's a very important question. I think even for South Africa, the question is going to be whether we are only going to give away vaccines that are due to expire, for example, right, in a month's time. And as we have seen in South Africa, the moment you've got vaccines that are due to expire, they need a more sort of efficient logistical arrangement to deliver them. For most countries like Mozambique, you may want to go Johnson & Johnson rather than Pfizer, but places like Botswana and Namibia can actually do very well with the sort of Pfizer vaccine, especially because we now know that you can take it out of the cold chain for a month and put it in normal fridge for a month to actually distribute Pfizer. It's no longer as complex as when, right, we started right at the beginning.
So, Prof, I mean, so many conversations have been ongoing on world stages about supply lines into the African continent. My sense is that they're very much north to south, supplies coming out of Europe, Western Europe, or out of North America and the US in particular. Do you have a sense of whether anyone has really thought through supply lines of the kind that you're describing? I know that is anticipated as the Aspen production facility down in Gqeberha becomes some sort of hub for an African vaccine effort, not just for COVID, but in general. But do you think that the paths are well trod? Are the logistics in place?
I think that's the crux of the issue, John. Right there is the question of the sort of south to south kind of channels to ensure the vaccine supply. That's really it. And you would remember that initially when we started, we were looking at linking up with India to ensure that we get supply, not really depending on the West, because we knew we couldn't really depend on them. But if you now look at the situation, we in South Africa criticized a lot of Western countries for not allowing South Africa and India to get the intellectual property rights to manufacture vaccines, aggressively so. Yes. And we also then criticize them for being quick to hoard vaccines and even initiate booster shots before many in Africa are having the first dose of the vaccine. And I am afraid that we are now starting to do the same as South Africa.
Yeah.
And it's a dilemma for me because in a way, we are privileged in an environment that is disadvantaged. And to some extent, we also want our people as soon as possible to start getting booster shots. But our neighbors don't have that first dose of the vaccine. And so we have to actually, you know, we talk about how we are a human rights country and we are leading in human rights and issues of justice. And yes, we kind of have to walk that path carefully. We cannot ignore this issue. And so far, I don't think that there is open engagement around our responsibility to support our neighboring countries.
And just finally, since you bring up the subject of booster shots, Prof, I mean, there are some people saying, well, look, if the numbers are, as you put it, around 100,000 a day, well off our targets and significantly well off to the numbers when the program was at its height. Is that another potential use for the surplus that we have, that we may as well, despite the ethical question you raise, given the size of the surplus, embark on that as a program as well?
Yeah, it is a possible use, but it needs to be informed by evidence, not panic.
Yes.
And this is my concern, that a lot of the people are asking for booster shots out of a knee-jerk reaction to some of the breaking news and concerns that they may have. But actually, if we can make sure that we are doing it in a way that is informed by evidence, and we are not necessarily just doing it because we can, then we will be, I think, you know, more responsible in the way that we can engage with boosters. And it's unfortunate that South Africa at the moment has not done two things. It has not taken a firm position about mandatory vaccination policy nationally. It has not taken a position about booster shots nationally. And these things, they need clarity as soon as possible so that people can know what to expect. And we are not going to find that we have a mismatch of expectations and decisions. Yeah.
Professor Musa Mushabela, Acting Deputy Vice Chancellor of Research and Innovation at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. On that point of booster shots, just very briefly, I mean, the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority said that they have received documentation proposals. They're assessing it. So, yes, no policy certainty yet, but certainly at least one decisive step in the direction of getting that certainty, whatever the nature of that certainty might end up being.